Hello, my name is Armando, and welcome to The Plant Nook. What's up, plant fam? How is everybody doing? I must admit, this bi-weekly thing kind of sucks. I definitely do miss putting out episodes weekly, but for my sanity, especially after the first 2 weeks of school, and the first week obviously being like syllabus week, and then the second week actually being like, this is school. This is legitimately school. It's going to be good for my sanity, to say the least. School has been great, I will say. School has been phenomenal. I was actually talking to my roommate about it today, and it is the best decision I have made in my life so far. I am extremely happy here, and I am so excited to learn everything that I'm learning. Today, I spoke with my professor about my actual project, more of the finer details, and I am so super excited to actually get in it and start, you know, doing the actual project, collecting data, eventually analyzing and writing. I'm so excited. I really am. And like I said, I really do believe this was the best decision that I've made in a very long time. In terms of planty updates, before I get too emotional about this, I recently got a dragon scale alocasia. It was a rescue. There's one leaf left on it that's starting to yellow, but there's a new leaf coming out, so success. But I got that from work. There was a plant there that unfortunately wasn't doing so hot, so I rescued it. Sorry, I'm just staring at it now. And it's doing pretty well, I may add, considering I've only had it for about less than a week at the time of this recording. So it's already popping out a new leaf, so I'm super excited for that. And I also have my very own philodendron, Florida Ghost. Yes, philodendron, oh my goodness, wow. It's been a while since I've had to use this kind of language, honestly. But yeah, I finally got my very own philodendron Florida Ghost. I am so super excited. I made a new plant friend out here. They are Shea Flora, Chez Flora on Instagram, who's actually going to school with me, which is pretty cool. So it was so much fun getting to meet her and getting this Florida Ghost from them. So thank you, Shea Flora. It's a beautiful plant. They were like, oh, there's some damage to the leaves. There's barely any, in my opinion. So I think it looks great. But then again, I'm also super excited to just have a Florida Ghost. And there's two new leaves popping out of it. So it's wild. It's insane. My Brassavola nodosa is plugging away at its new flowers. I don't see any actual formation of flowers just as of yet. But it is getting there. And I am so super excited. And everything else is doing pretty well, honestly. I'm just so happy, really. I'm really happy with how things are looking. A lot of my plants are doing great, despite maybe not being in the best of quote-unquote light situations. But with how bright the sun is out here, everything is doing fine, even in a north-facing window. So I'm not too worried, thankfully. So this week, I wanted to talk about plant blindness. So, I don't remember if I actually spoke in full detail about plant blindness. I think I did mention it in like one of my episodes, but I don't remember which one. I tried to find it, and I listened to a bunch, but I don't know. Maybe it was just sort of a fluke little moment or whatever, but it got me thinking this week after teaching my first lab on, literally, it was all about houseplants. Luckily, in both of the sections that I'm teaching, there were some people there that did grow houseplants, so I didn't have to worry about it too much. So that was really, really nice. But I was sort of noticing how the amount of people that just, I mean, they see plants, but when plant people like us see plants, you know, there's something almost magical, mystical about them. When other people go, oh, that's a plant, and just kind of keep walking. You know what I mean? I've also noticed this a lot when I was working at the Nature Center back in New York, and how sort of, I guess, I don't want to say like, well, I don't want to really call it blind, but like how people almost just sort of dismissed plants or like not notice things if they are noticing plants, you know what I mean? And that's pretty natural for us nowadays. You know, early on in human civilization, obviously plants were a huge deal. You know, bulk of our diets came from them. Eventually we learned medicine from plants. But now most of the things that we do are so detached from plants. The medicines we take, even the food that we eat. A lot of people don't understand where a lot of these vegetables and produce come from. They just think grocery store, right? I remember teaching a couple of classes to some like kindergarten and first grade kids in the good old city of Syracuse during one of my internships at a nature center. And, you know, that's one of the questions I asked, you know, where does our food come from? And everyone was like, grocery store. I was like, okay. I was like, yes, our food, you know, we get them from the grocery store. But where do like vegetables come from? And I had one kid go, the produce aisle. So, you know, a lot of us are very detached from what the natural form of these things that we almost consume on a daily basis. You know, we're so detached from that form. And one of my favorite things is when I'm talking about plants to somebody, or if I'm bringing them around like a conservatory, a plant shop or something, sort of like as I talk about these plants, talk about where they come from, what watering they might need or light or whatever, you sort of see like the change in their eyes. You know what I mean? You start to notice how they're like, okay, I can see that. And then as you move on to more plants and more plants, they're like, oh, so this one is like that plant that you taught me. It's like, yeah, there you go. And I think, you know, plant blindness is not any of our faults. You know, as humans made those progressive marks in our history, you know, especially starting with the Industrial Revolution on, that's when we sort of loosened our reliance on plants. Modern medicine kicked in instead of treating, I think, you know, one of my favorite quotes is, you know, let food be your medicine and medicine be your food. You know, we stopped using, you know, herbal remedies or whatnot for preventative care or for like, oh, you have an upset stomach here, drink some ginger tea or something like that. You know, nowadays, a lot more people are starting to come back to that because a lot more people nowadays are re-realizing the importance of a lot of these plants. Now, I'm not saying we should all stop, you know, taking modern medicine, yada, yada, yada. You know, without modern medicine, we wouldn't be where we are today, you know? So, yes, I still believe in modern medicine. I am a scientist after all. But it's good to realize where a lot of the medicines or the compounds in the medicine that we take come from. We need to realize where they come from. A lot of these compounds are from plants from the tropical rainforests, you know? So I believe I used to know this off the top of my head where aspirin, I think it was, originally came from, but it was a plant. It was a plant that was used. I recently watched Summer Rain Oak's 15 houseplant hacks, and she was talking about how she would use a styptic to stop the latex off of, you know, plants that have latex. So anything in the milkweed family, basically, which include Hoya. And she would use the styptic to stop it. And in medicine, we use styptics to stop bleeding. And I actually even commented, I was like, fun fact, yarrow leaves, which is a common weed in most of North America, and I'm pretty sure also Europe, but don't quote me on that one. But I know in North America, definitely, yarrow leaves are a styptic. So if I'm out on a walk and, you know, I accidentally like touch something that gives me a cut on my fingertips, I see yarrow, I'll take yarrow leaf, crush it, and rub it on there. It'll stop the bleeding. I also keep dried yarrow leaves around as well, because then I'll put the leaves in like a little, either like a little bowl or like on a towel, depending on where it is, and just place it on the cut and it'll stop bleeding. Yarrow is pretty astringent, so it does dry things out, and I think that's partially why it stops bleeding. But it's a great way to sort of reconnect with plants, is understanding those properties that we discovered way early in our history, and like, you know, using it for preventative care, or, you know, just like little things here and there, or even like for houseplants. That is a mood booster or a mood stabilizer. They're therapeutic, right? And I think the more people see plants in that way rather than just decor or just a house or just a plant, you know what I mean? I think that sort of helps in the plant blindness. I grew up with plants. My grandmother always had plants in the house, and it took me, I don't know, give or take, when did I move out of my grandmother's house? Probably in 2007. So from 2007 to about, I don't know, 2020, I remembered finally, oh yeah, that bay window that we had in our kitchen was covered in houseplants. I never fully understood or realized it growing up, you know, that there were houseplants everywhere. My grandma liked the garden, so I knew that. I helped her in the garden. And my mom as well, when we moved out of my grandmother's house, got our own place, my mom did outdoor gardening. Now she has some indoor plants, which is fun. But I never truly realized how important plants were in my life, because I was completely plant blind to them as well. As a kid, I was really into music and musical theater. So I was playing my violin, I was singing in choir, I was in drama club. You know, so I was doing all of these things, especially marching band. Oh, I loved marching band in high school. But I was doing all these things and wasn't really focused on science a lot when I was a kid. I was on track to be a music major and then switched to chemistry. And then when I got to college, switched out of chemistry to conservation biology and realized, ooh, I don't really enjoy studying birds, because I wanted to be an ornithologist at first, because I was lazy. That was literally the reason why I did not want to become an ornithologist anymore, because I was lazy at that age, because birds never stood still. And it's like, you know what? I'll study plants. They're going to be easy. They just sit there. I can look at them, whatever. And that would have been in my first year, is when I made the switch to conservation biology. And I think in my second year is when I decided, you know what, I'll do more stuff with plants. Plants are cool. Yeah. Because I was really into homeopathic remedies, herbal remedies, that kind of stuff. That interested me. And I've always wanted to grow food products. You know, I wanted to have a vegetable garden. I wanted to be able to harvest my own food. So I was like, might as well learn about it. Fast forward to in between my sophomore and junior year. In that summer, I had to do a 3-week course in the Adirondack Mountains. Literally, you're in the middle of nowhere on this, basically like a little outpost, if you will, experimental station, whatever you want to call it. And I took 3 weeks worth of field classes. And, you know, every day was, in the mornings you had like one topic, the afternoon you had a different topic, and then you kind of just switched out throughout the week, and then you did a research project. Now, Dr. Gregory McGee, he was the one who did our plant walks, if you will, We would walk through the forest. He would ID different plants and just tell us about them. Tell us about botany, plant ecology, those kinds of things. And after each session we had, all of my friends and I would sort of start noticing more of these plants. Like, oh, this is this. Oh my God, do you see that patch over there? Do you see this over here? And what was fun is every day going in and out of the forest, we started noticing something new. All of a sudden, these little green things started to really, really interest us. And I think that's because we were learning more about, you know, how they interact with one another, how they produce fruit, or, you know, maybe, ooh, this one tastes like wintergreen. It was wintergreen. It was the plant, literally was called wintergreen. Or like, ooh, do you smell this? Or do you see how this color does this for the plant? That's because it's being pollinated by a certain insect or something like that. Those little things, those little nuggets of information really started to open our eyes to plants and just notice them more so, and not just that's a plant. You know, instead of being just a plant, this is, you know, I'm looking at my collection. This is Monstera Peru. This is a golden pothos. I think plant blindness is just a product of modernization. You know what I mean? Like, the segregation between the environment and people. I feel like a lot of people think, I actually saw this on Facebook where I posed a question, can humans be part of the wilderness? And some people don't believe we can. Some people think we are completely separate. And I think in terms of how we live now, yes, I sort of agree with that. But that doesn't mean we can't return to wilderness. You know what I mean? And I think it's just understanding how the natural world works together and wanting to be part of it rather than us just sort of like being onlookers and not being part of the natural world. And so I think with plant blindness, that's just due to us not really caring about the natural world. One of the greatest things that this pandemic has done to us is the fact that we realized how important going outside was. You know, when we couldn't stay inside anymore, we had to wear masks, or places were closing down because we just couldn't physically distance. People turned to parks. People wanted more information about parks. People wanted more information on what to do in parks and stuff like that. And I did a whole series on bringing nature at home, essentially. Gardening is what I did a whole video series on for my nature center, and I even did a propagation video, all that fun stuff, and people were really enjoying it. People were like, oh, that's a great idea, I should do that, I should do this, I should do that. And then, let's be real, the houseplant hobby skyrocketed in popularity over the course of 2 years. We were all noticing how much more content is out there. More people were creating YouTube channels, podcasts, Instagrams, TikToks, starting plant businesses. You know, we are now really noticing and seeing plants, especially when we're out and about. I can't tell you how many times my friends have told me, you're such a nerd, when I'm like, oh my God, look at that snake plant. Or, oh my God, look how huge that monstera is. But then they start noticing that as well and start realizing how important it is to have these natural beings around, and not just outside but also in your home or in your office or whatnot. I think plant blindness can definitely be cured just by introducing a little tidbit of knowledge about plants to somebody. You know, not being overwhelming or overbearing, be like, well, you need to learn this and this and this and this about it. But when I started talking about plants with my students this week, you know, a couple of them did come up to me at different points of the day. Like I was hanging around our greenhouse just doing some work, and someone did come up to me and was like, "Hey, so we were talking about repotting in class, and you know, I haven't done this and this, but do you think I should?" I was like, "You know, go ahead and double check. Pull out the roots. If they look like that picture that I showed you, I would say it's time to repot. But if they look fine, you don't need to. You know, if the plant's doing healthy, you know." And I think opening up that dialogue and giving them fun knowledge or tricks or being like, just, you know, just pointing out little tidbits or be like, "Look how pretty this is. Isn't this really pretty?" Something that they can sort of relate to. Sort of starts to open their eyes to this magnificent world that we all love and want to share with everyone else, right? Because if we share it with more people, that means we all get more cuttings. So if you have a friend out there or a family member who maybe doesn't understand your plant hobby or just doesn't understand plants or anything like that, start slow. Start small. Work your way up. Sort of get them interested in a single plant. Find out what their aesthetic is or maybe what they find beautiful. And maybe you can introduce a plant into their life that might give them joy in that sense. And then, who knows, you might start having a new plant friend around that you can talk plants with, right? That's all we want, really, is more people we can talk to about plants. So that's it for this week. If you want to connect more, go ahead and follow me on Instagram, The Plant Nook Podcast, or send me an email, theplantnook@gmail.com. If you have any questions, feel free to reach out. If you have any topics you want me to discuss, feel free to reach out. If you just want to chat more about plants, feel free to reach out. You can also head to anchor.fm/theplantnook to find out other ways to support the show. You can also check out the merch shop. Don't forget to rate, review, like, share the show to all of your plant friends, and then maybe we can fight this plant blindness in the world. So that's it for this week. I hope to share more with you next time. Bye! The music you heard in this podcast is called Hard Fought Victory from Purple Planet Music. And now, a word from our sponsor.